Jason not being here, we'll get started. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District. The format that we have going here tonight is that there's going to be what otherwise could be described as a routine monthly meeting followed by a public hearing to address some of the budgetary and rate increase issues. So let's get started. We have members of the public here, I can see, and we'd like to solicit public comments. So if any individual wants to make a comment to our board, please identify yourself and make whatever comments you gotta make. You have to keep in mind, though, that we'll probably be unable to get into a detailed addressing of any specific concerns that you may have in to stay in compliance with the Open Meeting Act. Unless it's on the agenda, we're probably not going to be able to engage in sort of a real vigorous back and forth on stuff. So anybody that wants to say stuff or have a comment, please feel free to go ahead.
Did this go out via email? Hi, I'm Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don. Nice to meet you guys. I don't know if you guys received this via email or not. Let me pass this around. There's enough copies for everyone. This is just in response to, you could, it's not a real long letter. You could read through it real quick. Then we could summarize our concern or question.
Do you want to wait summarize it?
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
In summary, and I haven't even read through it in detail, so feel free to jump in, Dustin. But we obviously understand we're not challenging the budget necessarily. We are challenging the fact that, or asking for more information relative to how you guys have partitioned the fees. So there's a 33% increase for Summit customers, and we haven't seen or haven't been given the data backing that up, and we just want the chance to go through and understand how we got to that 33%. That's the gist. So we'd love to see you give us more time, you know, prior to adopting it.
I'm going to defer to one of our parliamentarians here. This is going to be able to be discussed during the budget.
During the public hearing.
Would it be better to defer that in your mind? Okay. Yeah. What we're suggesting is there's going to be a separate public hearing on the budgets per se, and that would follow our monthly meeting, so we'd have a chance maybe to digest this.
Yeah. And especially since we've advertised it as a public hearing at 6, there might be some that might not show up until 6 for that public hearing portion.
Okay, so can we defer comment?
You can go and come back.
Anybody else? Miranda, you have questions, concerns?
Come on, Mark. Don't be shy. I know you're not shy.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Carrie, you want to take over?
Yeah, where are we at?
We're at approval of consent items.
Okay. Was there discussion on that already?
No.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the consent items?
I haven't seen the minutes myself. Is that
a... Everything's in there.
Okay.
Behind tap one, tap two.
Is it all good?
Trust us.
Okay.
I've seen the minutes and we'll make a motion that we approve. They're minor things, but I don't even remember what they are now, and I'm not going to go back and read them again to dissect. So they're more just, they're great.
Sorry.
They're wonderful.
I'll kick you.
Move for approval, Mr. Chair.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and second to approve those minutes. Well, the consent items, including the minutes. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, to the attorney. Rachel, it's all you.
I was asked by Paul to address quickly the timing and procedure for appointing new board trustees. I sent out an email that I thought was pretty comprehensive, but we can discuss it here. We basically have two issues. We've got, potentially two issues. We have a couple board members whose terms expire at the end of the year, Bob's and Jen's, I believe.
And mine.
What's that? And yours? that was my second issue, was my understanding that there might be some resignations, although I haven't heard anything specific about that. So they would follow different procedures. But ultimately what it comes down to is that the county is still the appointing authority, so, you know, you three. And the county would have to post notice of a vacancy. And for the for the expiring positions, let me find my notes on that. You have to post a notice of a vacancy at least 1 month before you have a deadline for the nominations. And you must wait at least 2 months after you are notified of the vacancy. So I don't know what date we consider that you guys were notified that there was a vacancy. I know Jen sent out an email to everyone a couple weeks ago, kind of pointing that out. I don't know if that's enough or if you guys want an official letter saying there will be vacancies. Yes.
Explain the 2 months to me. We have to wait 2 months before we fill the vacancy. Is that what? What
does that say? At least 2 months after you are notified of the vacancy. Yes.
Her email was on the 6th of November.
My email that I'm talking about is from October 31st. 31st.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, 2 months from the time you're notified.
Yes, I've got that here.
Is that a state statute requirement?
Yes.
No, that's a vacancy. That's vacating. That's not a term expiration, is it?
That's the term expiration one.
Term expiration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But whoever's terms are expiring, they remain a board member until they're replaced. So there's no gap in coverage.
So they can be posted?
Get off this board.
They can't be posted until 2 months after?
No.
Okay, they can't be filled. So in other words, it coincides with the statute that says that you have to advertise for 2 months.
You have to advertise for at least 1 month, but you can't fill it. The 2 month thing seems like a little bit of a dumb requirement. But yeah, you have to post it for at least 1 month, and you have to make sure at least 2 months has passed since you were notified that there was a vacancy. And I'm saying that maybe Jen's email could qualify as you guys being notified. She sent an email that all your commissioners were on that said, hey, Bob's and my terms are up. That's not a huge requirement. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got...
Well, I don't think that that's a concern.
Yeah, that's not a...
For Commissioner Ebert and I, if nothing else, if that's what we're talking about, because we've had resignation letters...
for months,
yeah,
for
I'm not. That's not talking about resignations. That's just term expirations.
Okay.
That's just Bob's and Jen's terms are... Their four-year term is naturally expiring in the end of the year. So that's the process to fill expired terms.
Okay.
But board members, Bob and Jen, they would stay in the position until the position has been filled, so there's no gap in coverage there.
And so who has to be notified? Just the
You'd have
trustees?
To just...
So if Jen's wasn't sufficient, then we would do something like send a letter.
Yeah,
to all
exactly
saying,
to the three of
to
you.
The
yeah,
trustees saying your terms here.
Yeah,
are
just notifying you that we have two terms that are vacant that we need you to fill, because you're the appointing authority.
And then that way we could take applications.
Yeah, and then you have to post a notice of vacancy,
right.
Which would be, but it doesn't really say specifics about what that notice would entail. I mean, where would you normally post a notice of a vacancy? Probably your website, and
yeah.
I don't know, you could do a newspaper notice if you wanted, I think. That would list basically what the qualifications are, what you're looking for, which is up to you guys. Do you guys want to take resumes? Do you want to take bios or, you know, whatever you guys want? And
there's applications that include those opportunities as a standard procedure, what we do with any of our board vacancies. I don't know why they couldn't do that. Am I thinking something wrong there? What am I missing?
I'm sure you use the same process
mm-hmm.
that you use in the county.
So the question then becomes to me, let me ask you a separate one. When we're talking about, what tell us what the differences are in midterm vacancies.
So midterm vacancies, like such as if someone resigns, it's a shorter period to appoint someone. They give you a little bit of an expedited process. You just have to post notice 2 weeks before you make your decision. So post notice of a vacancy. And then
because
you can have a meeting to consider the candidates and select a candidate at that
there
time.
There was a thought, an assumption that if we waited till January with any commission resignations that may happen, that those then would go through the normal process. But to my knowledge, none of the commissioners' terms are up.
Exactly. And
so
a midterm vacancy
would be midterm even in January.
Right, right. So a midterm vacancy would be filled by a person who would serve the remainder of your term. And so it wouldn't even necessarily be a full four-year term. It would be whatever is the rest of your term. And yeah, that could happen at any point in time. There's no special timing requirement on that.
Excellent. All right. That answers my questions on it. I did read the email, but I...
Yeah. So then the only other thing is, you know, when you post your notice, you'd want to list the requirements. And typically the requirements are you have to be a registered voter and resident within the district. And I know that this has been discussed before, the issue of if there are over 50% seasonally occupied homes, then you're allowed to have proportional representation by people who are not necessarily residents, but are the representatives of landowners. And the details on that get ticky-tacky.
Representative of landowners or landowners?
Representatives of landowners. So if you, or the landowner themselves. But they say representative, like if it's owned by an organization.
Okay.
Obviously, the organization is not going to be a resident, but.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But we'd have to get into looking at what numbers we have. The last time I saw that there was a count done of how many seasonal versus non-seasonal, I mean, we're about to do two annexations potentially after this this public hearing tonight, and so that's potentially going to skew those numbers. So I would suggest maybe getting calculations done based off of that and then go from there to decide if we, because if you don't have over 50% seasonally occupied homes, they have to be a resident landowner.
My guess is that that's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
That number
the number of seasonally occupied. Yeah.
The annexation.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The annexation parcels look more seasonal than
right.
Anything.
Right. So that then I suspect that'll be the case, that you can shift to a situation where you have proportional representation. So for instance, like again, using the numbers as they were last given to me, it was 50.3%. seasonally occupied, which is technically above 50%, and so you try to make it as proportional as possible, which in that case is easy. That's 50-50. So of your non-county commissioner board members who don't fall under these rules, the remaining positions must proportionally be held by half people who are actual landowners and half that are those seasonally occupied ones. So whereas we don't, like, currently only have two positions being held by non-commissioners, then it would be one and one. That will obviously change if some of you commissioners are no longer on the board, then again, it would be about, you'd have to try to be roughly 50-50. And if it's an odd number, then, well, you just end up getting one person.
What if it's not an odd number, but it's an odd board member?
You've got five.
Yeah, I think that that's pretty par for the course.
So,
you
know.
Right. So anyway, does that answer every question?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that your attorney can help you with some of those requirements as well if you need help drafting something, or I can, or whatever. But
my concern, sorry, go ahead, Bob.
Well, it strikes me that the timing of our transition to what arguably was a commitment to become a more community-based
mm-hmm.
board is in the hands of current board members whose terms will likely be technically valid past the first of the year,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, that's the crowd we're talking about. So if they want to resign, if they want to allow for themselves to reevaluate their successors and to appoint people who they're comfortable with and who are qualified, then practically speaking, why would we wait till after the first of the year to do that? Because it's going to be the same after the first of the year as it is today. In those cases, right? It's not a midterm.
We can pull the trigger now. We don't have to wait 2 months.
That's what I'm suggesting.
If we do, then you're kind of ready to go instead of having to wait or wait or wait.
Are you talking now about resignations?
Correct.
Not, okay.
Midterm resignations.
I think, I don't know what Commissioner Gibson is, but I think we've been, we've expressed a want to start this process, and we were waiting for the beginning of the year for a variety of reasons. My concern is I don't know where Bob's going to land. Bob is going to be off in June or July. I think he was leaning that way. I don't know which way he's leaning today. I don't know where Jennifer is, but I would hate to have a whole new board with maybe one commissioner on it January 15th or whenever we put four new board members on. I don't think that makes a tremendous amount of sense. Now, again, I don't know where Bob's going to land, but I continue to be ready to rotate out and to bring the representative as far as how the weighting to have better community reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were going to do it about a month ago, and we decided for a variety of reasons, maybe we wait for the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's the best.
And I'm only showing the legal procedures, so I don't know if Paul has other thoughts or concerns, or if you guys have other concerns, but...
I would be happy
from a legal standpoint, yeah, you can.
I'd be happy to post it tomorrow.
I support that concept.
I know you support it, because you've been trying to get me off the board forever.
I've been trying to help you help yourself get off the board. You've submitted four resignations.
I would
letters.
Also comment that the board as it currently is comprised is completely legal. There's nothing wrong with how you guys are comprised right now. I think there might be some concerns about that, but I don't have any concerns about that. If you guys want to be more of a community-based organization or whatever you guys want to call it, that's up to you guys, but you're not illegal. I think that's important.
So as I understand it, so just for clarity, because you know, I know that Trustee Eberts wanted to be off for 6 months now, at least, or longer. I lost the first letter on purpose. And so I could see that he could effectuate a resignation anytime he wanted to. But as far as term is concerned, I guess what I'm not clear on. Jen has said the term expires for her and Bob.
December 31st.
December 31st. Mm-hmm. So does that mean then if we were to go with what's obvious, that we would have three? We could effectuate one in 2 weeks, you know, before the end of the year to replace Trustee Ebert if that's his wish, and then go through the ask the county commission to go through the process
for Bob and
Jen's position and whether they want to be on or not, they would reapply.
Reapply, yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you one more question.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I learned from the discussion down at the State House this year with the Chaffetz resignation was what constitutes the ability to move forward with triggering an appointment or a special election. And in that case, it was determined that his resignation, as long as it was irrevocable, would allow, I mean, at least the governor's office had the opinion that that allowed them to proceed. The legislature threatened to sue and a few other things, but in the end, the governor's office felt comfortable enough to move forward with that.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be a mechanism by which we could proceed with filling some vacancies? Well, they haven't actually occurred until closer to, so that there's not a vacant 2 months.
So you're saying
of advertising where there's no board, where there's board members that have not been seated.
Are you okay? Again, are you referring to resignations now, or the?
I'm referring to resignations, so
okay.
The commission seats, basically.
So yeah, technically.
So if I said
there
I
would have to be
resign on the 1st of December, we could start proceedings advertising for that. Could we start proceedings advertising that for that at least
so that there's no gap?
So that there's no.
Yeah, that is an interesting question, because I was just going to make that clarification that, you know, I had just said that like when Bob and Jen expire, they still stay on the board till they're. Seats are filled.
Positions are.
That's not the case when you resign. When you resign, yeah, you're off.
So can I?
But that's an interesting
now?
Concept.
After the public hearing.
After the public.
But that's
hearing.
An interesting concept of resigning by I'm going to resign in 2 weeks, allowing you to
on June 31st or whatever 30th was what
yeah.
James did.
there's going to be a lot more
research
laws and. Interest in the federal side, there's just not as much talking about it in our statutes, so I don't think that there's anything specifically saying either way whether that would work, but I suspect that
it's
would work.
It's probably less of an issue.
It's less of an issue, yeah.
Right,
we're talking
months.
About 2 weeks. And.
But I guess that's part of the problem that goes along with what Commissioner or Trustee Ebert mentioned about, you know, just the whole turnover issue, and
right.
And with a lot going on, I think it's a little... I don't want to leave the director
without anybody.
Yeah, without a board.
Yeah,
that's part of the thought process.
That's dangerous to do that.
Yeah,
yeah. I suspect that would work if you say I'm going to be resigning on this date. Therefore, let's get moving forward with filling the vacancy. I think that would probably work.
Okay. Well, I Any other questions on that? If there's no questions, I don't necessarily see this as a as an action item.
It's not. It's informational. And it's kind of an awkward informational because I feel like I'm kind of advising you as the county, which is not what this meeting is.
Carrie, what is your intention? What is your actual intention?
My intention is to be...
Do you want to resign tonight? Do you want to stay to the first year?
I don't want to resign tonight.
Okay.
No, I don't want to resign tonight.
I just need to understand because I'm hearing this legal stuff and I don't follow it. I mean, I follow it.
I want to make sure that when I resign, the director has full options available to him and knows how he's moving forward.
But you would remain on the board until your replacement was identified, right?
No.
Typically, no. When you resign, but what he's suggesting is submitting like almost like a pre-resignation. Like I'm telling you, I'm going to resign in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Therefore, is that sufficient enough for them to start the process of? And I'm thinking that it would be. I could go back and ask Mark and see if he has more specific experience with that. But I just don't think there's going to be a lot of pushback on that kind of thing. As long as you're still doing the full 2 week notice for filling a vacancy has to be done in an open and public meeting, FYI. So coordinate with your own schedules and county schedule.
Probably doing in their next board meeting.
Yes. And
the soonest it could be done, even if someone resigned tonight, that's the soonest we could fill it.
Right. Well, unless you had a special meeting, but yeah. And that one is one that gets people a lot because, like, if you choose to interview people, perhaps you'd have to do those interviews in a public meeting.
Yeah. The board would interview in a public meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
If you chose to do that, you don't have to do interviews. There's no set prescribed procedure for how you consider candidates.
But
you can decide.
The board doesn't make the decision.
Not the board. Your commission. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The commission.
Right. Point. That's
this
what I meant.
This is a commission deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Different hat.
Yeah.
And generally, just to follow the protocol that we've done, that we've not done interviews in public.
Right, and that's not necessarily
required. When there's been interviews, they've been conducted by individual commissioners
right.
on their own,
okay.
not as a member, as a part
yeah.
of that legislative body as a whole. So, all right. Any other questions? Okay, sounds good. What about the 1989 bond?
This is a quick update. I have not heard back from them yet, which I find interesting. It's the same. I have not heard. I mean, I proposed to them a settlement amount before our last board meeting, and at that point in time said this is contingent upon me actually talking to my board, because at that point I hadn't even talked to you guys yet. And at that time it was like, you know, it'd be great if we could get this all wrapped up before our board meeting, so we're just ready to go. And she's like, oh yeah, we'd really like that too. I just got to get to the people that, you know, make the decisions. And I followed up with her once and she said she still hadn't heard, she let me know, and then I followed up again and I still haven't heard anything. So, but I'm not really concerned about this item because they're not down our backs about, you know, us being in default or paying them back. It's just, I'm trying to get them to accept a lower amount than we owe. And if at the end of the day we pay the full amount, that's been authorized by the board, so it's fine. That's that.
All right. Moving on to the management report, Paul.
Yes, thank you. As far as the status on the new well, you'll find in your board book, you'll find under tab manager's report, which says, you'll find this table, critical path, it's called. And I just call your attention to that. We don't have to spend airtime on it necessarily. But,
got it.
Here's what I'm trying to, even though the dates are all bogus now, I mean, they've been blown out of the water 3 or 4 times now, and I haven't bothered to re-update it again. It's a fold-out sheet right there.
Got it.
Well, the dates are not valid anymore. My desire, relative to, and Rachel, I think, you know, I've started queuing the attorney up on this, is to try to get this done and at least ready for signature by the end of this year, by December, you know, in effect before Christmas, if at all possible. And whether we execute or we hold till after the first of the year, what I'd really like to do, I mean, in light of what we were just talking about, for us, very frankly, gentlemen, for me to start over again and explain to a new board majority this bond and put it on hold while the new board gets their head around it. I would rather not go through that brain damage. I would rather get it done while, you know, all of you have been on board with what we're doing, you understand what we're doing. I'd rather get it done so that at least any of the board action completed.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Are you absolutely sure?
I'm being presumptuous maybe to some extent, but I don't think I am. So I'll say I'm pretty certain that, because who's going to turn down a zero interest loan, you know? But I have to go back and I would just prefer to get it done.
I think you flatter the existing board by thinking we've spent a whole lot of time thinking about this.
Well, someone else may spend a lot of time thinking about it, and that'll slow us down too, you know? So
they can talk
you.
To me or...
Yeah. So at any rate, I'd like to get it, you know, it's gone on long enough, very frankly.
Got it.
And we've been stalled for good reason, but it's time to end it.
Yep.
Now, as far as the budget adjustment, I'm going to ask for a deferment on that until next board meeting, which means we've got to have a board meeting in December. Things are just a little bit too fluid, and we made an attempt, and as I look at the information, I'd rather not get you all stirred up on that. We do have to amend the 2017 budget. You'll recall that I told you that because we were, as I put it, pumping the world when we had all that runoff, and we incurred all that cost for labor and materials and equipment and power, you know, we're staring at a $60,000 budget variance in the face. Now, I've got to work around on that, but I don't have all the numbers. You know, obviously we've got another 6 weeks, and there are some things in place right now that you approved last month, like GR5 and GR6, two pump stations up on the new subdivision up on Potter Mountain, that are being repaired right now. You know, the concrete filled bollard, 6 feet, 6 feet tall. And I don't have all those numbers settled yet, so I would rather do the budget amendment next month, and we'll balance us out for the year on a prayer and a wish, you know, but we'll get there. So that I'm going to, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to just say that's all I say about that particular one.
Okay.
Where am I on everything else? I have other things to talk
Treasure.
About. Not tonight's meeting.
And that was the well and the budget.
Yeah, that was the well and the budget. Now the financials.
Okay. If you look in the very back, the last tab where it says financials, we'll go over the. I put a list in there of.
I'm sorry. The
very
tab.
End.
Last one. Jim.
Very last one.
Yeah.
There is a copy of the receivables, and you'll notice off to the side as you go through them, I've marked which ones have liens, which ones don't, who's got letters, who's made arrangements, so it's pretty clear as to, you know, if you're looking at it. Outstanding, what's not outstanding, and what I've done as far as liens and so forth go. Without mentioning... Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay, behind that is your budgets versus actuals, your P&L. It gives you an idea of where we stand with that, what we're over, what we're not.
And by the way, this represents the basis for our discussion next month. And I call your attention to the fact that, of course, our income has exceeded what we had budgeted by over $120,000. Our expenses look like they're only about $40,000 over. But then when you go to the next page and you start looking at the net operating income is $75,000. But we have one particular check we're waiting for. There's money infused to make that. It's actually $60,000 higher than it should be. So we only have $15,000 in net operating income. And the rest is our restricted funds, in other words, impact funds or connection fee, whatever you want to call them, they're still restricted. So that's why, you know, it still looks pretty good. But you can see some percentages that are over 100%, and that's where we're going to need to amend the budget. So like I said, I'd rather firm it up a little more.
The last two pages just give you the balances in both accounts. Your PTIF has $274,867 in it, and Wells Fargo's got $84,131 as of Friday. pretty much where you stand. And then you've also got up here, to, if you just want to take a look in your consent, it gives you the check register too of the bills that were being paid.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the agenda that, well, there is nothing else on the agenda, yeah. I should say, to follow the appropriate protocol until our public hearing at 6 p.m. So we'll recess until 6 p.m. and be back here. In the legislature, we call that saunter. We'll saunter for 15 minutes.
Are we here or in the other room?
I think it's here. So we'll saunter for 15 minutes. We'll see you all at 6.
You're welcome.